to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast. I am your host, Jason Gitarski, and this is my co-host,
Andy Lennox.
We're back together.
Oh, after hey, people.
It's almost like we didn't have a podcast, but hey, here we are.
It's because you weren't paying attention. We have scattered secret podcast episodes throughout the internet, and anyone who finds them will win the golden ticket to earn...
Oh, a tour of Green Couch Games headquarters. That'd be good, right?
Yeah, that's good.
I'll show people like keep that's my underwear
totally,
and stuff.
It's totally affordable for you.
It is. I could totally budget that. That's in the budget. But this is episode 44, and we have a panel with us today.
Because
here's the deal. We're recording this on a Tuesday, and for me, Tuesdays have been a special day for me because I get together with a couple bros of mine, and we meet at a local establishment to discuss life and play games. We were came together because we're all in ministry, kind of working as youth pastors or working in different churches, and that became how we connected. But then it became sort of a release valve to just come and hang out together. And those guys are with us today, so why don't you guys say hi?
What's up?
What's your name, dude?
I'm Chris Sumowitz.
Awesome. And what is your name?
Hey, I'm Eric Carlson.
Very cool. Yeah, so these guys, what we wanted to start is first we're just going to talk about, we've had a game day for Eric Carlson's birthday today. We've been We've been playing games since 10 o'clock, and it's about 4:30. So just real quick, Chris, what was your highlight today, one of the games that we played?
I think Planes was one of my highlights. The Mancala mechanics mixed with some of the strategy and some of the different types of winning. I think one of the things for me is when there's multiple ways of winning a game. That's really kind of a fun thing for me.
Awesome. Yeah, that game's by David Short, a friend of mine, and... AEG put that one out, and it's a very clever, like, 30-minute Euro game. It's really easy to teach, but it's got some meat to it. Eric, what about you, buddy?
I think the Colt Express was my fave, not just because I won handily, but it was a great time, and Rich Summer of the Cardboard Podcast recommended some cool things to go along with that, and that was a fun time.
So you're going to want to listen to the Cardboard Cast to figure out what he's talking about, the Colt Express episode. And Andy, what about you? Is there a highlight from today?
I got to say I am in love with Matt Wolf's Avalanche at Yeti Mountain.
Oh, man, I love it when you just come on here and do my work for me. You know, you're just, like, pimping my game.
I am not a paid shill. I'm just a regular shill.
So, seriously, though, so that's a game at Green Couch Games. It's just announced. What did you like about that one?
It is fun and light and fast with just enough strategy so that I know when I really screw up, it's my own fault.
Like when I lost in the first two turns.
You should not have played a one.
Yeah, that was definitely your fault.
The avalanche was coming. You can't just, like, dilly-dally when the avalanche is coming.
Well, I might have forgot about that piece of the game. But in reality, if we would have kept going, I had two rocket jumps ready to kick all your butts. So yeah. It would have happened.
Yeah, so this game, it takes about 15 minutes to play around with four players, and Chris was out in the first 3 minutes. There's some player elimination, but that's okay because you'll be playing the second heat in no time. Awesome. One of my favorites from today was we had a really good experience with the game, but we're going to talk a little bit more about those because at the end of the podcast, we want to talk about the Spiel des Jahres nominees. They're going to be announcing the Spiel des Jahres winner in a couple weeks, and we're going to weigh in and see if we can make some predictions for you, give you an overview now that we've all played all
three
of them.
We're going to weigh in and say why they're wrong in advance.
In advance, yeah. So people are like, well, it shouldn't have been that. But. So cool. So first, before that, though, I wanted to talk to these guys, Chris and Eric, a little bit about something that they have done in common, and they have used games to connect people at the churches that they were at, so or are currently at. So games have been this kind of medium for building relationships. So let's start with Eric, because he's the birthday boy today. And you have this variant of a game that is pretty popular that you have introduced that you use with your youth group kids to kind of get them to know each other a little bit. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the game is called Pairs. You might have heard of it. And we use that as when you are the loser in the game of Pairs, you have to answer a truth or dare question about yourself. And so it opens you up a little bit, and then so there's a question the first time you lose, and a new question the second time and third time until you're out of the game. And every person has to go through and answer these questions, and it really kind of opens you up and exposes some things you might not want exposed at times, but but it really draws people together because they're experiencing the same thing kind of time after time, and it's quick, it's light, and they just can't get enough of it.
So for those of you who aren't familiar, Pairs is a game where there is no winner, there is only one loser. So it really is a great way of putting somebody on the spot.
Totally, yeah. And so Eric introduced this to me. He's like, I've been playing Truth or Dare Pairs with my... And it really, it's just truth, you know. Right.
Sometimes dares, sometimes.
Sometimes dares? Oh, wow. That sounds
punishing
awesome.
At times.
Yeah. So, like, you take this simple game that's like, it's either you say, hit me or not, and you take the lowest card and you're out for the round and you're hoping to get the least amount of points. Or, like, you're trying to avoid getting a pair and it's a triangular deck, right? So, it's just such a simple game to teach people, A... And then B, like, to add this layer of, like, how can we use this as a way to get to know each other, really helps you kind of, the kids who maybe aren't into games, look past the game aspect, and then becomes this social event.
Yeah.
And then you also, my wife and your wife, and we went out to dinner one night and then came back and played Truth Pairs to get to know each other. And it was, I think it really helped our wives get to know each other a little bit. We've been hanging out every Tuesday for, like, months.
Right.
But, I don't know, that was just a clever thing.
Yeah.
So, So, Chris, what about you? Tell me a little bit about some games you've used to help connect people.
Well, first, I think one of the things is Board Game Night came out of nowhere. We had this leader in our ministry that loved board games, and I don't think Board Game Night would have been successful without him. So he came in with this extreme enthusiasm towards board games, and it really got our students excited. So I think first and foremost...
Hold on, what age were you working with?
Probably between 8th grade and 12th grade.
Okay, cool.
And the game we first started with was Bonanza. And the students just loved Bonanza. They loved the trading aspect. They loved the social aspect of being able to, like, try to trick their opponents or just have fun with socializing in that aspect. And one of the things that we really struggled with was finding out how to, once we had multiple people coming, you know, we had 12, 14, 15 people coming to this event, how we could do multiple games at the same time but not have to teach every game. So Bonanza was the first game that we really allowed students to start teaching themselves, and they really took off with it. The thing they really started to do was get involved with the theme. So we had students run down to our craft section and start grabbing cowboy hats, and they started talking in southern accents in order to really get into the game. And it was so fun to watch them just enjoy each other's company and talk like southern cowboys as they were trading beans in the farm. So we had a lot of fun with that. And then there was other games like Transamerica and Top This that were able to really move into some filler games that we could put in so that students weren't left not playing any game. So they enabled us to be able to teach some really awesome games like Galaxy Trucker or, you know, other games such like that. They were a little tougher to teach and took a little bit longer.
But you always had something like that people could get into easily and quickly while you're maybe playing a bigger, longer game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that allowed the teens to be able to do that. They could teach those games really easily. Transamerica, Galaxy, or not Galaxy Trucker, but Bonanza really easily. They could teach those without us having to help at all. So that's cool.
That's cool. So, like, when I think about you doing the hats and the accents, like, that is something that probably wouldn't work in an adult gaming group because we are so self-conscious, you know, a lot of the times. Like, how do we get people to do that? But then, like, you introduce something like that to a younger group, and the same thing with, like, the Truth or Dare thing. You're adding this layer that gives kids a chance to be kids and, like, have fun. And then they find out, wow, not only am I having fun, I'm playing games at the same time. That's a really cool thing.
I got to hear, what was this Galaxy Trucker variant you guys were talking about?
So, in Galaxy Trucker, we had this man named Kevin, and he took games to the extreme. We really tried to make a Transamerica human version where we, like, would create this version in the gym. It just never worked. But what he did...
Like holding hands to connect routes or something?
Absolutely. And we had these, like, brick 2x4s or wood 2x4s that created the space. It just never fully worked. But what he did do is he would create epic games. So we had epic Star Wars, we had epic Star Trek, but what he really did that I enjoyed was he took epic Galaxy Trucker to the extreme. So we would have all the pieces in another room. So we'd have to run to another room to come up with our pieces and then come back and place our pieces on our board. It was ridiculous. And sometimes he would hide the pieces throughout the area. It was absolutely ridiculous, but it was super fun.
That's cool, man. It's like
the kids loved it.
You're making an experience for the players, and it's memorable. Yeah, Eric, what do you want to talk about, man?
In a couple of weeks, we're going to play a life-size game of King of Tokyo at Youth Group. And we're gonna make our own like monster suits and cardboard armor.
That's
and we're gonna spray paint Tokyo and have like a place that the kids can attack boxes and just knock stuff down and just go after each other. And it's our game day that we do. And it's just like this life size version with rolling dice and all of that.
That
it's
is
gonna be
bonkers,
awesome.
That's so fun, man. Like your jobs like have allowed you guys to just continually be kids, and that's so fun. Right on. Do you have any games that like have failed, like when you brought them to your youth group that like you were really hopeful about, they just didn't work out? While you think about that, like when I was doing the youth ministry thing, I brought Werewolf out a lot, and like, I mean, there's deduction, there's like layers in that game, like reading people and trying to figure out stuff, but a lot of the time my kids just want to kill their friends. You know what I mean? Like, they'd pick the one kid in the room that, like, they thought could take it. And they're like, yep, she's dead. You know, like, and it was just like, are you guys even thinking about the strategy of, like, who you're killing and stuff? And, like, it was fine because it created that social experience and lots of laughs. But, like, there's a game there that I wanted people to experience, you know, and kind of catch that vision for how games could be cool. But
that was Coup for me, because Coup was such a fun game. But all the students wanted to do was get me out the first thing. So I never won that game. No matter what strategy I employed, I was losing that game no matter what. The other thing was, I love the game Agricola, and or Agricola, however you say it. And the students loved some of the students loved the game, but others didn't. So we'd be playing that game, and then somebody would get out the game of Life or Apples to Apples. And nothing upset us more than when the Game of Life or Apples to Apples was put out on game night. Because we were hoping for some more like creative or different games, and we'd see that and it would really bum us out. So
yeah,
I guess that would be some sort of a fail.
Yeah, that can be a hard thing, like when they gravitate towards stuff that's easy and like some of those games that are a little more thoughtless. But hey, getting kids together to play a game, no matter what it is, that's a win, man, I think.
For sure.
So. That's what I was hoping for with Werewolf, is that it, One Night Ultimate Werewolf would take over Mafia. Because my kids love to play Mafia. They love to kill, like, that weird kid.
At church, of course.
Yeah,
we always
right,
love to
right?
kill at church.
It's weird for the adults when, like, we're killing people during church time. But the kids love Mafia. And I thought Werewolf is, like, the best of Mafia plus a little bit of, like, skill and just deduction. It's a little bit more, but they don't like Werewolf as much as they love like killing like people who don't deserve it. They just love lynch mob mentality,
yeah.
like stringing people up. And
or in Coup, they love killing their youth pastor.
That's one of the best parts about games is like the circle of, you know, safety where you can just do crazy stuff. You can be nuts, and you can do whatever you want, and it's a game, and it's safe, and it's fun. Mm. And that's part of the joy of games, is like really just going off the rails, doing whatever you want, and knowing it doesn't really matter. It's just a game.
Yeah, totally. That's great.
Yep.
It's an escape into a safe other little world. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you guys sharing a little bit about your way of using games that connect people, especially younger people. It can be a challenge sometimes in our technology age to connect young people with our boring analog awesomeness, which we know that if they just saw it through the right lens, they'd love it, right?
But I'll tell you, one thing that I notice is we never got closer as a group than when we were playing board games. Board game night ended up becoming one of the most popular nights, and we would have so many people that it became kind of this craziness, but students love connecting on this deeper level that wasn't just based on digital world or phones, or we never saw people on their phones during board game night. They were always playing some sort of board game or even just watching other people play board games, because it was just this different kind of thing that they weren't used to. So it was a huge success in our culture and something that really transformed our community.
You know what I say to that? Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Awesome. So one more thing we want to talk about before we wrap this sucker up is in a couple weeks, the Spiel des Jahres is going to be announced. The German Game of the Year, which means whoever designed that game is going to get a decent paycheck, and that game is going to be the game that families everywhere are buying for the next couple of years, and for the years to come, probably. So we already had talked about those games being announced. So just to revisit them, we'll kind of share just what they are and a little bit about how they work. And then we'll kind of weigh in on what we like about each of them and if we think they got it right and who we think overall is going to win. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the nominees are Machikoro. Who wants to talk a little bit about Machikoro?
Machikoro is Las Vegas meets Indianapolis. It's it's a gambling game, sort of, but also a tableau building game. You purchase buildings and you... But you're also kind of making bets on when somebody rolls the die on their turn, what the outcome of that die is going to be. And based on that, you can collect money and buy more cards and get more points. It's very, very simple, but it really boils down the fun of rolling one die around the table down to its very core fun factor, and that is... We're waiting on this result. You throw the die in the air, and whatever happens, happens. Like, and it's addictive. It's fun, and there's that randomness equalizer that gets everybody into the game. Like, you can really optimize and strategize and figure out what you're gonna do, and then lose
and never roll what you need
and to lose get your ass to your 4-year-old who just bought whatever. Yeah.
Totally.
The strategy, like, you know, the strategy plays into it and gives you a better chance of winning, but it's a great gateway game, and it's, as soon as I played it, I was like, yes, this makes sense for Spiel des Jahres, because those are the kinds of things they look for. Something that engages gamery people and engages people who have no idea what they're doing.
Absolutely. And you know, like, the presentation is beautiful. It's this quirky Japanese game that has some great art. It looks different than a lot of the games on the shelf. Really good design. And I mean, what you just described sounds like life too, right? Like, you can make the best plan, know you're making all the right decisions, and something goes wrong, it throws the wrench in the whole thing.
Yep.
Well, and that's what I love about games, because... And this is what I've kind of learned. It's like, if you lose, you lose, but you still had fun. And that game is the epitome of that, because...
You haven't played with my wife.
But if you, like, you make these crazy risks, and you're like, my whole game depends on whether or not I roll a 6. But you have, you know, how many buildings that give you money if you roll a 6. It makes it fun, because then you're like, come on, 6, come on, 6, but then you don't get the 6. And then sometimes you do, and it's like the greatest day of your life. And so it's just this really fun dynamic between losing and still having fun. And that's what I love about it.
Or you diversify, and you're like, by every metric, I should win. And then the guy who, like, went all in on 6s just
like me.
Sweeps everybody.
That's how I play.
It feels very entry-level, like a Settlers of Catan that is just great, and anyone can access it at any time. You don't need a lot of gamer knowledge. You can just show up and make decisions, and you'll be all right, and you'll have a good time.
And that's a great, great quality. So I think it fits. I think it's a good choice for a Spiel des Jahres nominee.
For sure.
So the next one on the list is Colt Express. So this is... Anybody want to talk about that one?
I give a shout-out to Colt Express. We played it twice now, and I had a great time both times. It's a little more involved with the mechanics of it, but I thought it was a lot of fun and really added to my gaming day. And so I always look forward to when I can get in front of that game, and just, it's a great social experience because of what happens, because the decisions that you make affect other people, sometimes adversely, sometimes for yourself. But it's just that great social experience.
Yeah, and so the cool thing about this game is you take an hour when you first get it putting together these little punch board trains. It's like one of the coolest productions I've ever seen in a game. Like,
it's not a 3D like train on the middle of the table where your pawns can jump up to the top of the train and run around, and then there's...
Your goal is to pick up loot and shoot each other.
Yeah, and it's totally wacky. Everybody plays cards. So every round there's a card that says like in what style you play your cards. So it'll be like round one, everybody plays a card face up. Round two, everybody plays cards face down. Round three, you play two cards face up. And then round four, you play a card face down. And you kind of go around the table, and it's a programmed movement kind of thing.
Yeah, you flip over that deck that everybody's played those cards to, and then you resolve them one by one and see how bad you guessed and end up with absolutely no money, or you missed all your shots, like me, at the end of the round.
And it's great because it's exactly the same sort of... it's the same sort of flavor as all the other games where... This SDJ, where it's like, you can... think you have the best laid plans, and then they can all go awry.
Absolutely.
And you can sit there and strategize and figure out every single movement you're going to do, and then someone just punches you to the next train and all of your movements are destroyed. It kind of feels like a slightly less chaotic Robo Rally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A little streamlined Robo Rally.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because in Robo Rally, you can make a move, and then all of a sudden you're running into the wall three or four times. It's the funniest thing in the world. So maybe I really am terrible at games, but I think it's funny when all of a sudden punching the air. And I'm like, well, I'm losing, but it's funny because I'm punching the air or shooting no one.
There was one round where we were all just blindly punching the air and punching no one. It was so funny.
That's so good. So that one... it feels to me on level with like Camel Up, which won last year.
Yes,
it's like that amount of decision, that amount of strategy, which, you know, like you said, your strategy can only go so far because you're gonna guess wrong, but that amount of equalization
due to randomness.
Yeah. And components again, top notch. Great game for families. Lots of replayability with the different character special abilities and the different ways that the rounds might come up. So that's Colt Express. And then the third is a little bit different. It's a smaller game, and it is called The Game, or Spiel so lang du kannst, which means play as long as you can. Dun, dun, dun. There's a big skull.
Will the English version be called...
It is called The Game, Play as Long as You Can.
Okay.
The same artwork. It just got picked up by IDW Pandasaurus, bringing it to the U.S. And
I was wondering if it would be called Das Spiel.
That'd be great, yeah. Yeah, just flip it. So this one is by the same guy who designed a game that I love called Quicks, and his name is Stefan Bendorf. And this one is kind of similar in a way to Hanabi that won 2 years ago. And the way that this game is played is that you have two cards that are one with an arrow going up and two cards that are 100 going down, and you have a deck of 2 to 99 cards. You deal 6 cards to each player in a 4-player game on your turn. You have to play 2 cards to those 4 piles on your turn. You have to. And you're trying to get through that deck. It's a cooperative game. You can't say specifically what you have in your hand, but you can say, don't play on this pile, or play close, or go ahead and go backwards. Now, the twist is that you can go the opposite direction. If you're in a pile that's going up, then you can play 10 down... exactly 10 down in the opposite direction of whatever the card is on top of that pile for one of those 4 piles.
So if it's a 35, you can then play a 25.
Yes, if you're going supposed to be going up, you can go backwards on the, in that instance.
By 10.
So
exactly.
This is a puzzly little game. What did you guys think of it?
I liked it a lot. It felt a lot like Hanabi, where you're trying to table talk but stay within the rules. You're trying to solve it together with the limitations that you have. It was less riotous, but definitely more thinky. But I liked it a lot. I would definitely play again.
Cool. What about you, Chris?
I had a lot of fun with it. Maybe I'm really bad at games, but I have fun even when you lose. So, like, this game is really hard to completely finish your cards, and I ended up being the person that had one card left, but it was really kind of fun and funny trying to figure out how that we could figure out a way to win this game. And
without saying, hey, play a 10 or don't play anything here because I've got a 42.
Oh, yeah, and we did really well. I mean, we ended up with one card at the end of the game. Yeah. So,
and the rules say
we technically lost, but we still did really well according to the rules.
The rules said we're excellent players and we have 10 or less cards left at the end of the game. So
we had one, so we're like,
yeah, we almost beat the game. I beat the game once. And there's ways to amp up the difficulty, so you start having to play three cards instead of two if you're really, really good at this game, which I imagine that would just be insane. I'm not ready to go there yet. I played with two, three, and four players. It's been fun with every count. It's a quick game. It's stinky. The first couple times were really quiet until we started figuring out how to interact to really maximize the game. At first, I thought there wasn't any interaction in the game. I thought it was just like, you got to play a number, just play your best card. But then you can really mess around and get in there and talk to people to kind of make a better choices.
It's a little nerve-wracking, and you're not sure what the other people are going to play, but you're trying to communicate, like, hey, I've got this, and you don't want to go below that. So it's just got that tension that is so good. And I play with two and four players, and both times I was like, are we going to do this? Is this going to happen? So there's this anticipation of, is it coming, or will it not? Will it not complete it?
A surprising amount of tension considering, like, the very simple, elegant rules, and, the, like, it's just a deck of cards. So I think it has that going for it. It's a very low, like, production game. It's probably very affordable, and it's very simple, and there's a lot going on there, even though it's... You could teach this game to anybody.
Yeah, definitely.
You just set it down and say, you can only play higher here, you can only play lower there, go. Like, that's pretty much all you need to know.
And at $15 or whatever, I could buy that for any family member and stuff it in their stocking, give it for a Christmas gift, and it's going to get played because it's simple.
And being someone that really appreciates games that promote community, we played games all day that were against each other, but our last game of the day was, you know, we were for each other and we were a team, and... It really created this kind of camaraderie and adds to the fun of being able to try to win together as opposed to trying to, you know, kind of hurt somebody else or screw somebody else in order to win yourself. So,
but you're only saying that because you lost so much.
I don't think I won any games today, but I had fun. So
absolutely. Well, awesome. So real quick, if you were on the jury deciding who gets the award, who would you give the award to? Let's just start with Chris.
Man, I'd probably go with Cult Express. I think the idea, something I love I touched on earlier, is being able to win in multiple ways. And I think that's one game that you can win in multiple ways. And there's not so much of trying to hurt the other opponents, but there is a little bit of that to make it fun. But you're not, like, completely ruining somebody's game by a decision you make. So I think that's pretty fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd vote Cult Express, too. It's a mid-level game. It's got enough... But it's pretty accessible as well, so Cult Express.
I'm also going with Cult Express. It's so cinematic the way each round card tells you how to play your cards, and then you sort of have to figure out how people are playing it. But then at the end of the round, you watch it all play out like a movie almost, and you can kind of get this narrative going in your mind of, like, this is how this train heist is going on. And the strategy of and everything just sort of fades into the background, and you just sort of enjoying how things are playing out. And it's just such an enjoyable game that all of your missteps don't matter. And if you're losing horribly, it's just fun anyway.
Yeah.
And that's... I love games that you can have a riot losing.
Nice. So here's mine. I'm going to give a couple caveats here. So I, in my heart of hearts, the filler king or the filler lover... Like, I want the game to win, but it's not quite as good as Hanabi, so I don't think it's gonna take the win. It's good. I also think that Cult Express should win because it's got it all. It's got that level of play that's engaging for all. It's got the production value. It's got the right price. It's a fun story. It creates great moments, and you can think a little bit, or your thinking might not always lead you to good places like it did with me. But I think the Machi Koro is gonna win. I know that's just my guess would be the Machi Koro. It seems the most commercially viable in the hobby kind of world arena. I don't know. That's just my guess. So I'm picking Machi Koro.
Okay.
We'll
see when you're completely wrong.
Yeah, we will.
The Great Train Robbery was one of the first classic movies out there, and I think Cult Express is going to bring that back around.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you guys for sharing your thoughts. It's been fun to have you guys and to play games with you all day. Chris is a photographer. You can check out his work at 2kinphotography.com. Eric, people can follow you on Twitter and talk about games at
DonutCow11.
The numbers 11, DonutCow11, whatever that means. And
I'm Andy underscore Lennox.
And I'm at Jason Katarski. Come back and listen again next week because I have an interview with the designer of the next release from Green Couch Games, Jurassic Attack, Mr. Ryan Cowler. He's got a cool story you guys are going to want to hear. And if you want to hear more great podcasts, go to DiceTowerNetwork.com. Thanks so much, and get out there and play some great little games.